Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. Today, it's the first episode of 2024, everybody. Can you believe this podcast has gone on for this many fucking years and still has so few listeners? It's wild. It's insane. I'm joined today by my good friend, Mr. Peter Marsh.
Yo, how you doing, man?
Fantastic. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm good. As we were just discussing, I am in my first week off from work. That's one of the benefits of working in education. Mm-hmm. Nice long breaks. And so I have time today to talk about some sequels with you that maybe the general public don't like as much, but I think that they held a part in our heart when we were kids.
Yes, yes. So yeah, last week we talked about Ghostbusters 2, and today we're talking about Gremlins 2. And you know the connection between them, right? Those two series?
There's a connection between Ghostbusters and Gremlins? Is it?
Yes.
Well, is it New York?
No.
Of Gremlins 2? No? Okay.
It's Ghostbusters Part 1 and Gremlins Part 1 were released on the same day.
Oh, okay.
I believe June 8th, 1984. I might be wrong about the date, but I know that I write about the month and year, which is wild when you think about it. Because yeah, with Ghostbusters being this giant phenomenon, that Gremlins had the breathing room to also become pretty big.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But today we're talking about Gremlins 2, The New Batch from 1990.
Yes.
And this movie is very 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a ton of 90s tropes. And it's also one of the, and this was a big thing in the 90s, sequels that were like in the city. Like Babe 2, Pig in the City, or Home Alone 2, or Homeward Bound 2. Like, it was like, oh, what are we doing for the sequel? Do the same thing, but now do it in a city.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Jason Takes Manhattan, right? But that's not 90s, though, I don't think.
No. But, no. Yeah, it was a way of, like, I guess, I don't know. And then Scream finally did it.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah.
It's funny because like New York, you and I grew up in New York, and New York is such an interesting place because often in the 80s and 90s, it's depicted as a place where people are really mean.
Yes.
You know, in Ninja Turtles 2, it's a place where everyone eats pizza.
Yes.
Right, in the beginning, but usually
weirdly,
it's like,
they don't, everyone just eats like weird, like drippy pizza.
Yes. But in New York, like often you would just see like someone would get in front of a car and someone would honk at them and they'd say, I'm walking here, right? And
yeah.
You know, and people are just rude in general. And New York was kind of going through this transition where it was going from a place that, or at least Manhattan, seemed like a pretty scary place. And there's always like subway cars just filled with graffiti. It kind of seemed like the Gremlins had already escaped in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then by the time we kind of reached our teens and adulthood, it had become like much more clean and safe.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if you look at the original Gremlins, Gizmo the Mogwai comes from Chinatown.
Yeah.
So you've got in the original movie this tension between like the fear that comes from a city and the like the safe charm of like suburban life.
Yes. Yes.
Kate, what's your history with Gremlins and Gremlins 2?
Oh, God. I love being on your show, man, because someone gets to ask me questions like this. So Gremlins. I saw pieces of Gremlins. I absolutely did not see Gremlins in the theater. I was only two when it came out. But I would always see pieces of it on like either TV or on VHS. And when it was on VHS, I would skip the parts that were too scary for me. Mm-hmm. I was a very scared child, so I couldn't handle certain sequences. There's that part in the first one when, like, the teacher at Billy's school gets killed by the gremlin. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't watch that. I couldn't watch the sequence, which is amazing, where the mom gets attacked by the Christmas tree. I used to have trauma. I couldn't go near a Christmas tree for a while because I thought gremlins would fucking attack me. But I absolutely loved that end sequence when like Gizmo takes out like Stripe, like where he's like in the race car on the ground and they're in the store. I just thought that was amazing. I love the part when they're in the theater. And then Gremlins 2 came along and that was one that I could just watch throughout. Like I wasn't scared of any part of
it's
Gremlins
way
2.
Sillier. Way sillier.
Yeah.
It's did you see Gremlins 2 in a theater?
I don't think so. I think I saw it on tape. And that part kind of trips me out because, you know, and you mentioned this in our last episode that we kind of jump around, but there's this one sequence in the movie where they like break the fourth wall essentially. And I know that I think in the theater version, you get Hulk Hogan, but I think there's a different version on the VHS.
Yeah, and you can't find that anymore because now they'll show the original theatrical everywhere. But yeah, in the theatrical version, it looks like the film has burned, and then you see like gremlins like, and they look like I guess it looks like they're in the projection booth, and then like Hulk Hogan is there, and it's just ridiculous. Whereas in the VHS. It looks like it kind of like got staticky, like it looks like the VHS broke. And then you see like John Wayne from like a John Wayne movie come out, and he says something about he's like shoots at gremlins. It's like the same idea done differently. But it's hard to find that version now.
Yeah, that's the version that I was so used to. And I used to watch it on VHS often. And then I think just like Ghostbusters 2, Gremlins 2 is another movie that would be like on HBO a lot too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw it in theaters. I saw the original a lot. I love the original. I watch the original maybe once a year around Christmas. I think of it as a Christmas movie.
Absolutely.
Alamo just played it. The Alamo in Staten Island where I live just played it, and we just saw it, and it's great. I've seen it a few times. I was too young when it came out.
Right.
But I've seen the original movie a few times now in theaters. And the thing that always strikes me is like how good the puppet work is. Like, oh, it's so God. Like in the scene, like where they're in the, we're talking about part one, but the scene in part one where they're in the movie theater and they're all like doing things and shouting. Like I was saying to Jen, like, do you know how impossible that is to fucking do? That means like there was like 100 puppeteers underneath all of them, all doing something different.
Yeah.
And you have so much of that in part two. And as a kid, I loved part two because you got the effects are better. It's funnier. It's sillier. As an adult now, I see part two as very inferior, but I still enjoy a lot of it.
Right. Right.
I love Gizmo. I've always loved Gizmo.
Yes. Yeah. And in part two, the gremlins kind of do more ridiculous things like that. That's actually the part I liked so much rewatching it recently was just all these little stupid things they do on the side. They do stuff like that in the first one too. But in part two, you even have more variations of gremlins. They incorporate this great idea of there being like a genetics lab in this building. And you can have all different versions of gremlins that have like powers and shit, you know?
Yes. Yeah. In the first movie, there's this great sequence where all the gremlins are like in a bar that Phoebe Cates is the bartender.
Right.
All these visual gags. And it's such an amazing like set piece because it's like it's just a lot of funny right away. I'm sorry. It's a lot of funny together and a lot of great puppetry. And I feel like with part two, they were like, you know, that one sequence, that's the whole movie.
Yes.
And that's. Part two is almost exhausting in a way. It's like there's almost too much.
Yes.
And the director, Joe Dante, originally didn't want to make a sequel. And they tried to do it without him, and they were not having success. And then he was like, well, I'll do it if you just let me do whatever I want. And they said, fine. And he sees part two almost as like a parody of part one.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost like, you know, like it's not just sillier and funnier. He does things like make fun of the rules and how they don't make sense. He makes fun of Phoebe Cates' dramatic monologue from the first movie about her dad dying on Christmas Eve by having this thing about Lincoln's birthday, and she's like, "Oh, no, Lincoln's birthday," and then it's like, everyone just sort of rushes her along.
Yeah, let's move along. Yeah.
And Joe Dante is a huge fan of the Looney Tunes. He even directed a Looney Tunes movie called Looney Tunes Back in Action with Brendan Fraser years later. And Chuck Jones, one of the directors of the original Looney Tunes, actually has a cameo in the original Gremlins. He's in a bar playing himself. He's like Billy's showing his drawings to this old guy. And he's like, all right, thanks, Chuck.
That's awesome.
And he came out of retirement to do animated sequences for this movie because the movie begins with an animated Looney Tunes sequence. The Warner Brothers logo basically turns into like a Bugs and Daffy like sketch.
Right.
And then later on, there's a it's never said on screen, but there's a character that they named Daffy, which is like the really like silly Mogwai that has like the googly eyes.
Oh, I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's named Daffy and he acts a lot like the original version of Daffy Duck, which was just like fucking crazy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so, he kind of makes Daffy Duck noises, right? He's like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And there's like, there's tons of like Looney Tunes, like sound effects. And it's really like a big cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just great. And I think, so this came out in 1990.
Yeah.
So I would have been like, you know, 7 or 8 when it came out. And it's just like the perfect age for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Let's say it's directed by Joe Dante. It's written by Charles S. House, based on characters by Chris Columbus. He couldn't work on the sequel because he was directing Home Alone.
Yeah.
Produced by Steven Spielberg, Kathleen Kennedy, and Frank Marshall. Like, those are pretty heavyweights.
Oh, well, if Kathleen Kennedy is connected, this must be horrible. Her.
Gizmo's a Mary Sue.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, it's interesting. As I was watching, like, there's a... And we'll jump around, but... As I was watching, there's a sequence where, like, in the control room as the gremlins are, like, infiltrating the whole high-rise building.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is a lot like Jurassic Park, but this came out years before Jurassic Park.
It did, yes, yes. That control room sequence absolutely is like Jurassic Park. And there's the one part where Mohawk, right? That's the one that's kind of like Stripe in the
set. Yeah.
He like comes out of one of the consoles and bites the guy. That feels very much like Jurassic Park when that happens.
So Spielberg kind of ripped himself off, I think. Oh,
look at that.
I think when he made Jurassic Park, he was like, well, what were the gremlins doing?
Yes. Your Spielberg sounds a little George Lucas-y too.
Yeah, yeah, they're all it's the same to me.
Okay.
Same exact impression. This is I don't even know where to begin with this. It's such a crazy movie. You suggested this movie. Can I ask you why you suggested it? I said, Pete, what do you want to record on? And you said, how have you done Gremlins 2 yet? And I was like, no, I haven't.
I guess because I kind of love this movie, even though a lot of people, like my wife didn't even see this movie, right? And she my wife thinks sequels are bad in general. And so I tried to watch this with my kid who like really loves Gremlins. She really loves the first Gremlins. But, you know, she's not very interested in it. And my wife wasn't really pushing for it either. So I kind of just wanted to be able to talk about this movie that I think is kind of great. You know, I mentioned on your show sometimes Red Letter Media. They were a big influence for my shows that I do. And they've covered Gremlins too, and they've talked about Gremlins a lot. So
They do talk about Gremlins a lot over there.
Go ahead.
In the Plinkett videos of the original of the prequels, they use Gremlins as like a template of like how to make a story, which I always thought was really specific and weird.
Yes. Yeah. But it's just like, when you think about it, like as a kid, it's very interesting. I don't know if there's other franchises like this, but for a movie to be kind of scary and then just to change its tone dramatically for the second one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I've really seen that before.
Right.
And I know that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say that Gremlins, the first one was supposed to be even scarier than it actually ended up being. Like, I know that in the first one, they were going to, like, kill the mom. I know that at one point, like, they were going to have, like, her decapitated head be found somewhere, or they were going to, like, throw her decapitated head.
It was written really as a horror movie.
Right, right. And
there wasn't this thing where Stripe came from, basically in the original script, Gizmo is this cute thing and then he eats after midnight and he becomes Stripe. Like, right. Gizmo becomes Stripe. It was Spielberg who saw the potential of like, oh, Gizmo, everyone's gonna love Gizmo, like put more Gizmo in the movie, like, and I kind of love that because The 80s was obsessed with like weird gestation periods. Like this and Alien are all about like weird, and it could, I don't know why. Is it feminism or was it AIDS? Like, well, I don't know what they were reacting to, but there was this weird thing in the 80s of like different ways of procreating. Like same thing with like David Cronenberg's The Fly. Like this whole thing of like he gets wet and then he multiplies violently, and then if they eat after midnight, they turn. Like, I love that.
Yes. It is really interesting to think of like other movies inspiring each other. Like, absolutely, Aliens came out between Gremlins 1 and this one, right? So you have a lot of imagery with like the eggs and the eggs opening up, and
Absolutely.
with
That's so from Alien.
right. And in this one, there's kind of an evolution of the gremlins multiplying and stuff. Because in the first one, they get wet and they kind of bubble, and then you just kind of see other gremlins eventually. I don't think you ever see them be like spawned. There's a sequence in the first one where they show them like in the attic as like cocooned or whatever in the eggs. And they show that in this one too. But in this one, they have sequences where you see the bubbles on their back, and then you go close to the bubbles and it has little gremlins in them too.
Right. In the original one, you saw Gizmo multiply. Like you see the
Right.
water touch him, and then like these little furry balls pop out of him,
But,
which
right.
always disturbed me because it always looks so painful for Gizmo.
Agreed, agreed.
But in the first one, when they make more green gremlins, like Stripe just like jumps in a pool and you see
Right.
like the pool bubbling, and then there's just gremlins everywhere. In this one, you see like the bubbles on his back, and it's so gross. It gives you like trypophobia. Like,
Oh.
trypophobia is like the fear of small circles, and instead, like it's like if you ever look at like a lotus plant and you get like your skin crawls, that's trypophobia.
Huh.
So like it gives me trypophobia. Like it's so gross. Like, and then like they close up, you see like a little gremlins inside their backs. It's like, oh.
Yeah. It's so well done and creepy, and it's this great evolution of the original one. Now, it's funny because I think that you like Patrick Willems, right?
Yes, I do.
Did you watch his recent video where he was talking about Days of Thunder and how it ended the 80s?
I didn't, and here's the thing. I love video essays, but it seems like every video essayist that I love eventually like comes out with like a 7-hour video, and I'm
Right.
like, fuck, like literally every single one I like. At some point, I'm like, oh, they haven't done it in a while. And then here's like a video that's like 7, 8 hours. A and he did that. So I've kind of not seen a lot of his most recent stuff.
I totally understand. I know you're a fan of Jenny Nicholson. She's kind of done that
Oh my
before.
God. She's got like a 6-hour video about like every Land Before Time movie.
Incredible stuff. Yeah, she did a really great video, if you ever do have the time, on like this one church that would put on these
Yes,
Easter
I've seen that.
plays.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, going back to Patrick Willems, his most recent episode that was on Days of Thunder and how it ended the 80s, I think that that's really worth watching for you.
Yeah.
But he kind of talks about the 80s period, and it's interesting because like Gremlins 2 is a 90s movie because it's set in 19 or it takes, it's 1990s when it came out. And then we just did Ghostbusters 2,
Yeah.
and Ghostbusters 2 and Gremlins 2 are like very 90s. And I
Yes.
know you already kind of mentioned that in the beginning, but before we kind of jump into that, I was going to say that like one other thing from the 80s is tied into what you were saying before about Spielberg and Gizmo. And that was just like having merchandise of something.
Yeah.
And they really play that up in this movie a lot, where they're like Clamp sees Gizmo at the end, kind of like the last joke of the movie is Clamp looking at Gizmo and being like, oh, this thing, I could see this as a float in the parade. And
Right,
like he's talking
right,
about the merchandising of Gizmo, which is like it's a commentary on Gremlins and
right.
Gizmo.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that 80s thing. It's the thing that kind of really started with Star Wars and then like really blew up in the 80s of like the idea of like just having merchandise based on these film characters and like making things in movies just to have merchandise.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You
And
know?
it continues like right now. Build-A-Bear has like Gremlins.
Yeah.
Build-A-Bear, like it, Gremlins has continued to be a merchandising thing.
Yeah.
And But you mentioned Clamp. So as a little kid, I wouldn't have guessed that Clamp is like based on Trump. He's sort of a Trump joke. He's
Yeah.
not really the villain, but he's sort of a combination of Trump and Ted Turner, especially because there's like CNN jokes. But also like at one point, like so the movie takes place in this big high-rise building, which by the way, I wanted this is what I wanted Evil Dead Rise to be. I wanted it to be a building like this with Deadites. But anyway, so
Yes.
it's this high-rise building that's fully automated. They even call it a smart building, which is like very early to be using that terminology. And this was another 90s trope, like making fun of like technology going crazy
Yes.
and surveillance going crazy. And it's owned by Clamp, who's basically Trump. He's like he owns the building and he rents out to different tenants, and there's like a TV studio there, and there's a food court, there's a mall, there's the genetics lab, which is called like it's got like a funny name. I forget what it's called. I wrote it down. It's got like really silly name. I'll find it. And
Sure.
basically everything takes place in this building. It's like, instead of like being in a small town America, it's gremlins go loose in this building. And I realized, because I just watched part one, a lot of the comedy in both Gremlins movies comes from stuff not working. So in the first
Yes.
movie, Billy's dad is like an inventor, but he's like a shitty inventor. So all of his stuff doesn't work. And in this,
Right.
everything doesn't work because it's just like it's the idea is like we put too much emphasis on technology and technology. Like, like there's a revolving door that's supposed to be automatic, but like it doesn't work. And like some people can't go in
Right.
it. And like lights that turn themselves off. Like he's at his desk and his light turns off. And his girlfriend's like, oh, well, it's because they're trying to conserve energy, like move around so the sensor will know you're there.
Right.
But it's pretty clever because stuff not working is what the whole mythology of Gremlins comes from.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I remember, like, because there's a Gremlin Looney Tune character
Yes,
too,
yes.
who like would get into planes. I think like because they would have like these World War II Looney Tune cartoons, and there was a character that would just kind of fuck with airplanes because that's what
Yes.
Gremlins were known for, was for like messing up airplanes or
Well,
World
the
War II.
Twilight Zone episode with the Gremlin, with William
Yeah.
Shatner, he's
Right,
in the
right.
wing of the plane trying to like fuck it up.
Yeah. And I think there might even be like weird like Japanese stereotypes
Oh,
about
for
gremlins,
sure.
because I think that's what the idea comes from. It's from Japan, I think, the
Well,
idea.
yeah, I mean, in the first movie, Mr. Futterman, played by the incredible character actor Dick Miller,
Dick Miller.
he is just this huge racist. He's a World War II veteran, but he's this huge racist. And he's always like, what's that, a foreign car? You can't trust these foreign cars. And
Yeah.
he's the one who actually in the first movie says like, oh, it's gremlins. They took down our planes in WW2.
Right.
Yeah, there's absolutely like this idea of fear of the outsider, xenophobia.
Right.
And both these movies also suffer from very offensive Orientalism. Like
Yes.
the way they depict the guy who owns Gizmo is like,
Mr. Wing?
yeah, like he's got like a Fu Manchu must like beard and he's smoking
He's got
fucking
like
pipe.
one blind eye. Yeah.
It's like super fucking racist.
Yes.
So
Now
yeah,
you.
there's a lot of like built into the idea of gremlins and all that is political stuff. Like I don't know if the director Joe Dante himself cared about any of this, but it's all built into it. It's all built into, especially 80s movies, a lot of them are about like like the tension of like, between us and Japan, the tension between us and Russia,
Yes.
the rise of technology, the feelings of failure after the Vietnam, like all of that stuff is baked into, the context in which you make your stuff. It will always be there. It's one of the authors of any piece is like the time it's made.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely that feeling because, like, in the 80s and the early 90s, there was this sense of like technology advancing and
Yeah.
like just like things becoming super advanced, and which is funny now because we look back at like 1990 and it seems so archaic compared to like
Right,
what we're
right,
dealing
right.
with now. But at that time, everything that's mentioned in this movie was kind of going on, especially in New York. It's just and it's much more hyper version of it, you know?
Right. I always think, like, when if a young person were to watch like Gremlins 2 now, the joke of like them being like on a having like a FaceTime call would not even be a joke to them because it's such a normal part of life.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's funny when like we kind of surpass the futuristic technology of the old movies. You know, it's like, oh, well, we're
Yeah.
beyond that. We were finally living in the future. We never have those flying cars and stuff, but you know, we're
Right.
never going to another planet, but we definitely have like stuff with phones, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
exactly. Right.
But it's funny because you said that this guy's like Trump. I felt like he's not, he's actually like a very kind guy. He's just kind of aloof, right?
Yes, I
Clamp.
agree. Yeah.
Like he's not like a womanizer, and he's not like real smug and arrogant. He's just sort of aloof to everything going on around him.
Right. In the
You know, so.
original script, he was more of a villain.
Okay.
And they took a lot of his villain stuff and put that on like his second in command.
Yes. Played by Robert Picardo,
Right,
which
right,
I think
right.
he's great in this too.
Yeah. But he's also a little bit like Ted Turner because Ted Turner has CNN and Clamp has the Clamp cable network, so it's CCN.
Right.
And there's all these jokes about he won't play black and white movies. He wants to colorize movies, which is something Ted
That's
Turner
another thing.
did.
Right.
Like, there's a joke in it where they're like, tonight on CCN, watch Casablanca now in color with a happier ending.
Right, right,
Like,
right.
that's all stuff that, and even this is true. Like, at one point, when they think the gremlins are like everywhere, and he's like, the world is ending, he puts on this video of like these like, I guess, like, I don't know what, like, they're playing like taps. It's like, duh.
Yeah.
And it's like, CNN really has an end of the world video like that. Like,
Do
they
they
actually
really?
have something like that. You can look it up on YouTube. They're prepared for that.
Wow,
So
I'd
that
love
was
to
a
see
joke
that.
about something that really existed.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah, it's got like that stock footage of like a bird flying on
Yeah,
a
yeah,
branch and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
And we should
there's
say Clamp
definitely.
is played by John Glover, who's great. He's in a lot of DC stuff. He was Lex Luthor's father on Smallville. He
Right,
did
right.
Batman Forever.
Batman and Robin.
He's
He's
in Batman and
Professor Luther.
Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's fantastic in this. He's definitely one of the highlights as far as the cast goes. There's all these like new characters. See, you know, in our last episode, the Ghostbusters episode, we were talking about how, you know, a lot of these sequels, they try to do like beat for beat the same thing they did in the last movie.
Yeah.
And really when it becomes a franchise is when they start introducing new characters, new situations. This one, they actually do introduce like a new situation. It's in a building and it's in the middle of New York versus suburbia, and then you do introduce all these new characters. So I think that that is why Gremlins 2 isn't just like a retread. You know, it's not
Yeah.
like they're attacking the town again, and then it's not just Billy. I mean, I almost feel like Billy and his girlfriend kind of take a back seat to all the ancillary characters in
Yeah,
this.
Billy, I somewhere around the second act, Billy, the narrative thread gets severed and you kind of lose track of Billy.
Yeah.
I think that this movie should be shorter. There are things I
Yeah.
would cut. I would cut Mr. Futterman all the way out of this movie. I
Sure.
love Dick Miller, but there's really no need for him to be in this movie.
Well, he died in the first movie.
Right, and then they retcon him dying.
Right.
I think his father, like Hoyt Axton, who played Billy's father, was supposed to be in it, but then couldn't do it. So they
Okay.
put Mr. Futterman in instead. But you
Okay.
don't need any of that.
Right.
And I it's maybe some of the Gremlin stuff's cut down. That's the thing. Like once it gets going, it's just like gag, 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 and the movie kind of gets lost.
Yes. And the thing is, like, it gets lost, but honestly, that's the stuff I always remember, and that's the stuff I love. Like, there's one part, you know, because
Yeah.
we jump around, we talk, you know, when they're spraying the fire hose at the end, and I
Yes.
forgot that there's a gremlin that's like showering as they're like
Yeah. Oh,
spraying the
yeah.
fire hose. And I just fucking burst out laughing because I thought that was the
Yeah.
most funny. You know, it's just this random bullshit.
Yeah. No. Yo. It's incredible. It's just comedy gay. It's so good. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah. I know. I absolutely. I totally love it.
Like there's one gag that I love, and you know, maybe we could use this to segue into like the different types of gremlins
Sure.
too. But one of my favorite gags, and it's I think there's something wrong with me as a person for liking this gag so
Yeah.
much. But there's a part where the brain gremlin is being interviewed by the Count Dracula guy,
Yeah.
and he's sitting there and he's talking, and it's like it looks like the Tonight Show. And he's talking about how the gremlins like violence and chaos. And then this one gremlin just pops up with like a fucking one of those hats that spins and he just shoots him. And like, it's wrong to laugh, but that always made me fucking laugh. You know,
but, absolutely. But isn't that's right out of Looney Tunes?
Yes.
That's a gag that they would do in Looney Tunes a lot, where somebody would interrupt somebody and then they would just shoot him.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I there's mean, like one where like Daffy Ducks are on stage and somebody like heckles him from the crowd and just pulls out a gun and shoots that guy. It keeps going like hilarity. Yeah.
Right. And that's the whole thing is right. Like, you know, they say the new line is the house that Freddy built, right? Like, well, obviously Warner Brothers is the house that was built by the Looney Tunes. And there's that sentimentality, not the idea behind Looney Tunes that's in a lot of the main Warner Brothers properties, especially like the DC stuff. Like, I always think of that sequence and I think of, what do you call it? Batman, the original Batman, when the Joker's like, Bob, gun. And he takes the gun and he just shoots Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like that kind of random craziness, that's a Looney Tunes thing.
Right.
And, you know, it just sucks with all, like, did you hear recently that, like, Warner Brothers is talking about merging with Paramount now?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, yeah, that's the big buzz right now on social media is that they're thinking about combining Paramount and Warner Brothers, and I just feel like
there'll eventually be one media network that controls all of information.
Right, right, and Mickey Mouse will be like the icon for it.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, no, it's scary.
I know, but that's a little tangent in itself. But like, I love that crazy Looney Tunes horror, and they essentially make these Looney Tunes Gremlins characters. There's like the brain gremlin, there's the Daffy one, there's that like Grumpy one. Do you know his name? Is he called Grumpy?
There are three that pop out immediately when Gizmo first gets wet, and their names are Daffy, Lenny, and names were of Mice and Men, Lenny and
Carl?
Who are the characters from of Mice and Men? I can't remember.
George. Okay.
And George looks, he's made to look like Edward G. Robinson. And then Lenny has buck teeth. He looks almost a little bit like Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
And that's a big difference because in the first movie, outside of Stripe, they all kind of look the same. Like all the Mogwais kind of look the same. And then all of the green gremlins look the same. And in this, even before they start taking like the crazy, like, I'm a bat, I'm a spider, like they put in work to make them different.
Right, right, absolutely. Right, so I mean that's a thing unto itself, right? Because initially there's these character gremlins that you're talking about, these three character gremlins, and they're already unique. And then there's Mohawk, which is essentially like Stripe, right?
Yeah.
So there's this four unique gremlins, but then they have this whole sequence with this lab where they're like giving them all different powers. So there's like a bat one.
Yeah.
Mohawk eventually becomes a spider. There's an electricity one. There's like a vegetable one.
There's a female one, which I guess there are no female gremlins except for that one.
Right, right. And she's horny as hell for Robert Picardo.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
The Brainy is voiced by Tony Randall from The Odd Couple.
Perfect.
He does a great... but again, I laugh so hard. Still, even now as an adult, like... He takes, like, he drinks, like, the Brainy juice, and then he comes up, and he's wearing glasses. He just has glasses.
Fucking brilliant, yes.
Right now, it's just so stupid, but so entertaining.
Yeah, I love the Brain Gremlin. He just, like, he's so, like, kind of pretentious. And as a kid, I didn't really know what the fuck he was saying half the time.
Right, he's talking about, like, Susan Sontag and shit like that.
Yeah.
So have you seen the Key and Peele sketch about Gremlins 2?
No. What happens in that?
It's funny. It's like a writer's room, and it's Keegan is like, I guess he's supposed to be like Joe Dante, but like he's sitting at a big table and then there's all these writers. And then Jordan Peele comes in and he's dressed a little bit like, do you remember the character Hollywood from The Mannequin? He had like crazy glasses. And it was like,
yes,
he comes
I do.
In looking like that. And he's
my God.
He's like, I'm the Hollywood sequel doctor. Whenever they're dropping a deuce, they call me.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, everyone, let's have fun. Everyone think of their own gremlin. And one guy's like, how about an electricity gremlin? And he's like, beautiful. It's in the movie. How about you? How about a lady gremlin? Awesome. It's in the movie. And it just making fun of how just the crazy weird gremlins, like this is how it was written.
Yes. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but each of them serves a purpose, right? I mean, maybe not the vegetable one, but like the brainy one is kind of like the mastermind of the group, right? And
Yes.
then the bat one kind of helps bring Mr. Futterman into the building and kind of
Right.
shows the idea of them escaping and how dangerous that could be. The
Doesn't the
electricity
bat
one.
one, wait, let me stop for a second. Have you ever seen Tales from the Dark Side?
Yes, I know what you're talking about, like that demony creature or
Yeah,
whatever.
doesn't the bat one look so much like that, like gargoyle creature?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, maybe they kind of recycle molds and stuff from some of them,
Maybe.
you know. But and then one thing that's great about the bat creature is that when it flies out of the lab, it makes the bat symbol too.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Product placement that Warner Brothers. But no, and then like the electricity one is used to stop the gremlins at the very
Right.
end,
It's and
you
it's
know.
all animated.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
so stupid.
And well, it kills Christopher Lee.
Yes, Christopher Lee, whose name is Dr. Catheter.
Oh my
Something
God.
I would have never gotten as a kid.
Jesus Christ.
You also
It's
have in the lab, and I looked it up, it's called Splice O Life. That's the name of the lab they were, and
well,
they're
that's
like,
perfect.
they make designer genetics, and like they're making
Yes.
all these weird animals and stuff. And working for Christopher Lee's character are these two twins that were also in Terminator 2.
That's right.
These guys had a little career in the 90s, these weird looking twins with like red hair.
Yeah.
And I love the scene where like Gizmo's dancing.
Yep.
That was a big flex because that's something they couldn't do in the first movie. The
Right.
puppetry is way better in the second movie.
Absolutely. It's funny because you and I just talked about Ghostbusters 2, and both movies have this kind of same scene, right? Where they
Yes.
take Gizmo out and they're playing music. They play a specific song and Gizmo's dancing. And
Yeah.
then in the last one, the toaster's dancing to a song too.
Yeah. But you know
Yeah.
what? I think watching it again, I watched it again 2 days ago. Gizmo is not in it enough.
Yeah.
Gizmo gets really sidetracked,
Yeah.
and that's why I say it feels like it's just gags, gags, gags. And I love the gags and they're funny, but like it doesn't, it's not a movie. Like
No.
Gizmo and Billy need to be the driving force, and I think they lost that.
Oh, 1000%. There's this whole sequence where Gizmo is essentially being tortured.
Yeah.
And I guess I never really realized this as a kid because I think when you watch a movie as a kid, you're just like, oh, it's this part. It's this part. And you're
Yeah.
excited. We always have that even to this day. But as an adult, you're like kind of thinking about, well, what's going on with the time in this movie? Like, what's the arc? And with Gizmo, there's like a huge chunk of this movie where he's just tortured.
Yeah.
You
Yes.
know, I don't think I realized when I was a kid like how much he's being tortured. He's being like electrocuted. He's being like they're taking Velcro and pulling off his fur. One part I was watching that kind of stood out to me was that Mohawk is holding him on a copier and they're
Yeah.
making all these copies of Gizmo, but it's like just shining bright light into his
Yeah.
face.
Right,
Like
and
I was
bright
like,
light
shouldn't
hurts
that,
them.
right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that kill him? I was
Yeah.
thinking.
Yeah. I have nothing bad to say about Zach Galligan, the actor who plays Billy. But Billy as a character, as it's written, I think is very not a great character. First of all,
Yeah.
in the first movie, Billy was originally written as younger, and I feel like you always feel that. Like his best friend is Corey Feldman.
Yeah,
Like
right.
he seems like a little kid. And then in the second one, he's just sort of like he's still kind of like a man baby.
Yeah.
Not a pop culture man baby, but a man baby. And he's just it's the way the character's written. It's I think by part two, they were like, we need Billy, but also Billy doesn't have to we don't need Billy. All we need is fucking gremlins doing things.
Right. Yeah, you essentially need like a human to introduce them to this environment, and he's the main guy from the last movie, so there you
Right.
go, you know.
Right. So, they've spoken for years about wanting to make a three, and there's been times when Joe Dante wanted and times when the studio wanted. And they made an animated series in 2022 called Gremlins Secrets of the Mogwai. Have you seen any of that?
So you shared that one clip, and I watched that clip, and it was very interesting to me. And then, whenever you watch them on YouTube, they recommend some other stuff, and they
Yes.
had just all these clips of this like sort of like in brain gremlin that's in that
Voiced by
show.
George Takei.
Yeah. And so I think he said that he drank some kind of potion too that made him smart.
There's a lot of magic in the cartoon. I watched the whole cartoon.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. It's very good.
Okay.
And I think any kid would really like it. And there's a lot more Gizmo. Gizmo's more heroic in it. But it does also, it's got funny gags. The clip I showed you is like there's a lot of magic in it. So like there's these two gods, and there's a the clip I showed you is this one god. The gods are brother and sister, and she's explaining how she created Mogwais, and how like her and her brother were created all existence, and she felt that humans were fundamentally good, and the brother felt that they weren't. So they were like they created Mogwais as a test.
Right.
She created Gizmo, and he created the rules, and the rules were like if the people can follow the rules, then it'll show that humans are good. And if they don't follow the rules, it shows that humans are bad. And the rules are, don't get it wet, don't let it be exposed to sunlight. And in the cartoon, they say don't feed it when the moon is highest in the sky, which is an interesting sort of like fix of the problem of like the time, the
Yes.
joke about the time
Yes.
time zones. And then there's a fourth rule in the show, which is it's not really a rule, but it's like Mogwais are immortal. So if you eat a Mogwai, you become immortal,
Oh,
which is what the
okay.
villain wants to do in it. It's an interesting show. But so if they ever made a Gremlins 3, the problem is it wouldn't be puppets. It would just be CG, and it just wouldn't have the charm.
Well, I think some movies nowadays use practical effects still, but then they maybe use like a little bit of CGI to kind of fix the parts
Yeah.
that look wonky. If you did that with Gremlins, it would work. It's funny. You kind of make me want to watch that show because I did like the clips that I had seen of it. And what was really interesting of that sequence that you just described was that the Gremlins were basically created for a wager to show if like humans were worth
Yeah.
keeping or not, if they were a problem. And immediately the humans just start doing horrible things to
Right.
Mogwai, like they start like pouring water on them and making them multiply. Then they start like just showing them to the sun and they just basically burn them to death,
Yeah. It also
but
retcons and makes Gizmo like the prime. Like Gizmo is the original Mogwai.
oh, he's the timeless child.
Yes, yeah, he is.
No, I don't know if they could make a Gremlins, like a third Gremlins movie now. But yeah, I think that someone would push for it to have actual puppets, though. Like they do stuff with puppetry still, even though everything is CGI. Like even in the modern Star Wars shows, there's some puppetry.
Yeah,
And then
sure.
I know that like they had like a Dark Crystal show on Netflix
I love
recently.
that show, by the way.
Even like, like with Farscape, I mean, that's a long time ago at this point too, but that had a lot of puppetry.
Yeah, I
So
mean, you would hope that they do it that way because the truth is CG has become the cheaper route. So like it would cost more. You would have to have them be really dedicated to like building and using the puppets. Have you seen the Mountain Dew commercial with Billy and Gizmo?
No, what happens to that?
It's Billy. It's Zach Galligan playing Billy again, and he's sitting on a couch next to Gizmo, and he's like, "Ah, this Diet Mountain Dew is so good." And Gizmo's like, "Gizmo, try." And he's like, "Okay, but be careful, don't spill it." And then he drinks it, and he immediately spills it on him, and like Steph walks out, and then I guess Billy's daughter walks in and she's like a goth girl, and on her shoulder she has like a stripe like Mogwai, and she's like, "Oh, what?" And she like rolls her eye, and her and the gremlin roll their eyes at the same time. It's really cute. I love it. I watch it. I've watched it a bunch of times. And then somebody like 10 years ago made like a really good fan film that's all puppets. That's like really good. Like there's some good like ancillary stuff out there. But yeah, if they made a movie, I would be worried. I would want Joe Dante to be involved, right? I feel like at some point what they might do now is reboot it. Doesn't that seem like the way they would do it now? They would just sort of start fresh. But then
Probably.
you have to, they might do what they did with Child's Play and like completely redesign it and lose its charm.
It's weird, right? Because Gremlins kind of borders the line, kind of like Ghostbusters does too. Ghostbusters borders this line between like it's a comedy movie, but then the kids part is like this big lore, and you know it's kind of like both of these things at
Yeah.
the same time. And the kids part is the merchandise part, and the comedy movie is the non-merchandise part. And then with Gremlins, it's like the original, it's like a horror movie, but then it's also got this like kids kind of like merchandise with like video
Yes.
games and gizmo toys and puppets and stuff. And so I think that they would probably lean more into like the merchandise part and the lore and stuff. They probably would take stuff from this show that you're talking about, The Legend of the Mogwai or
Yeah,
whatever it's
yeah.
called. They probably would take stuff like that, but then have it set in a contemporary setting. Is that show in the modern day, or is it like kind of
No.
ancient?
It
It's ancient times?
it's feudal Japan.
But it's funny because you and I, like in our discussions today, you know, we've talked about so many different franchises, especially franchises from the 80s, and we always kind of like hold them all at the same level as far as nostalgia.
Yeah,
But
right.
it's interesting because like they all have different levels of success, and then it's also interesting of like, well, how do you gauge their success, right? Because with something like Ninja Turtles, for instance, that's like total domination, where it has like a cartoon, toys. It's everywhere. It's in the zeitgeist. There's a live action. There's multiple live action movies, you know. And then like Ghostbusters is pretty much just as big. Then you get like lower with like He-Man and like maybe Transformers. Like Gremlins, it's like it's not necessarily on those levels. But if you ever see like a shirt that has like all 80s stuff, you're always going to see like a Gremlin in
Right,
there, and you're going to
right.
see Gizmo, you know.
Well, you know what? It could be because surprisingly, there wasn't an animated series.
Right,
Not
right,
until now. I mean, I don't know
right.
why. Like, there was. That's really crazy when I think about it. Why wasn't there? Right?
Yeah,
There should have
yeah.
been.
Well, I think it's because so in our last video, I mentioned how Ghostbusters is a live action movie first, and then
Yeah.
came the toys and the cartoon and stuff. Gremlins live action movie first, and I think that it was even scarier than Ghostbusters. I think that Gremlins is considered more of a horror movie, where
Yeah, that's true.
Ghostbusters has horror elements, but it's not considered a horror movie.
Yeah, but we did a whole episode of PCMC on cartoons based on movies that should never have been adapted, like Rambo and RoboCop. Like they did these things. Like they could have easily just been like The Adventures of Billy and Gizmo and like,
Oh, 1,000%.
you
I
know,
if
I,
I
yeah.
yeah, if I had to guess it, it would probably have something to do with the people involved behind the scenes, like maybe Joe Dante. I don't know, maybe Steven Spielberg, but I feel like he would push for a cartoon of
Yeah,
it.
well, he had that time in the 90s with like Animaniacs and Tiny Toons where he was all about the cartoons.
Yeah, with Steven Spielberg, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like maybe they did have Gremlins cartoon ideas, but maybe it didn't live up to his expectations, and that's why it didn't get made, you
Yeah,
know?
that could be it.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at some of the jokes. Like at what some of the jokes are so funny, like in the lab, there's a vial of acid, and it has a label that says "acid, do not throw in face."
Yes. And of course they do, and that leads to a Phantom of the Opera parody.
Yes, right. And at the end, when you see all of the gremlins, and they're all like in the like main lobby, a bunch of them have T-shirts that say like "No Gizmo." It's like the Ghostbusters no sign, but with Gizmo.
Yeah, it's
Like
fucking
they went and
brilliant.
got these shirts made because they hate Gizmo so much.
Yeah, it's so fucking good. I mean, there's a part where Leonard Maltin reviews the first Gremlins movie,
Yeah.
you
And
know?
they come and attack him.
Yeah, it's
And you know,
like,
Leonard Maltin really gave the first Gremlins movie a bad review.
oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
He really did,
Oh,
which is
wow.
so funny that
Yeah.
he was like, okay, I'll do this. Yeah.
No, I mean, there's so many funny gags, you know, and there's little things that like are just more subtle, like not on the nose, but they have like a woman that's kind of like the Julia Child,
Yeah.
and like she's cooking in the kitchen and like behind a pot where people can't see, she's got like alcohol that she's
Right,
drinking
right,
it.
right.
And you know, there's like little jokes that people almost say like under their breath and stuff too. Like Clamp says a whole bunch under his breath that's
Yeah.
like real funny, you know, like he says, when they give the what's the Dracula guy's name in the movie? They call him, he's like
Uncle Fred?
Grandpa,
Grandpa
Uncle
Fred?
Fred.
No, Uncle Fred, I think it is. But
And
he seems based on Grandpa Munster.
right. And he tells him, how about get a little sun, you know, over the weekend? Like it's
Right,
all these little
right,
small things.
Well, I love, there's a part where, like, in the building, there's, like, I guess, like, a trading firm. So, like, you see a bunch of gremlins on the phones going, buy, sell, buy, sell.
It just like, it's just like every little thing, every little detail, they have like a little stupid, goofy joke. It's constant, it's relentless.
Yeah, it's the gremlins seem to talk a little bit more in this movie, but they only talk if it like benefits a joke.
Correct,
Like when the
correct.
female gremlin's like attached to Robert Picardo's like leg, she says like, "Why won't you commit?" Which is such a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, she's so ridiculous, man.
Let
And
me ask you a question. As a child, were you what's her name?
oh God, I thought you were gonna ask me if I was sexually attracted to the gremlin.
No, but were you
The answer is
attracted
yes.
to, okay, thank you. Were you attracted to the woman who works with Billy, the redheaded woman?
Oh man, that's why it's good to come on your show, man.
That's
Yes, I
what.
was. I don't know why, but like 8-year-old Pete was like, oh yeah, there's something hot about
Yeah,
this.
right. It's the red hair and the hair covering one of her eyes.
And she, I mean, she acts seductive, and she does that thing with her foot
That was such a
where
big thing in the 80s and 90s. No
people
one's
just
ever done
love.
that to me. As an adult man, no one has ever like played footsie with me or like put their foot in my crotch. Movies lied to me. I thought adult life was all about women putting their stockinged feet in your crotch.
I was always wondering when someone fondled my genitals with their foot. But
Yeah.
no, it's funny because like that's one of those things when you're a kid, you watch it and you're like, what exactly is happening? You know it's like kind of taboo or like it's forward, it's sexy or something, but you don't really understand it.
The actress's name is Haviland Morris, and
Yes.
she actually doesn't act anymore. She's a real estate agent now,
Oh, wow.
but she does have a role in the Gremlins cartoon.
Does she really?
Yeah, he gave her a role, I guess, for an homage. So is Billy. Zach Galligan voices a character in the Gremlins cartoon, one of the goons, one of the bad guys.
That is really cool. I gotta check how many episodes of that show are there?
Is eight.
And that's it, right?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to get through.
Gotta watch that.
And your kids might like it too. Your younger kid might like it. I think it's funny when he's like, Billy's like giving everybody something to do. He's like, you do this, you do that, and you Marla, you smoke.
Marla smoke. That's great. And she says thanks. Yeah, I love that. You know, it's funny because she gets captured by Mohawk. And when you're watching it, even at a young age, you kind of think, oh, this is kind of her comeuppance because
Yeah.
she has like tried to seduce Billy, and Billy's this innocent guy and he's got this girlfriend. So you're kind of expecting something bad to happen to her. And you know, Gizmo saves her at the
Yeah, of course.
end.
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of bad things happening to the female characters, what's Phoebe Cates' character's name in the movie? I always forget. Her
Kate.
name is Kate.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's easy to remember, right? But so she's in this elevator, and even that has all these great gags and stuff too, where the gremlins are like, you know, she says, "Sound the alarm," and they go, like, that's really fun. But then, like, she's in the elevator, and it's just like plummeting to the ground. And she's like up in the air because it's going so fast. And then it smashes. And you'd think that like in a regular movie, she'd be dead. But she's fine. She just kind of goes up in the air and then she falls down. All the gremlins get obliterated though. And then
Well,
there's
there's
that
some
little.
gross stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean,
Clamp
there's.
puts a gremlin through a paper shredder.
Right. And what's equally horrific about that sequence is he's putting the gremlin in there, and then the gremlin kind of looks down and then looks at him, and it makes this kind of face, and it like bites its lip. It kind of goes like, oh, you know, that always disturbed me. And then after, it shows like the shredding, and what makes it extra creepy or gross is that it's wearing like a red sweater, so there's like a little bit of red that's going through the shredder too.
It's super gross.
And then when they come to like when they get clamped, they look in the shredder and like a little glob like pops up too.
Oh, it's all like what they used to call gags. It's all like physical joke. It's really like put together like a cartoon. It's just gags, visual jokes. But speaking of crushes, Phoebe Kate, I mean, come on. Phoebe Kate in the 80s and 90s.
Oh yeah.
The
Come
ultimate
on.
girl next door.
I mean that sequence in what the fuck is that
Fast
movie?
Times?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, how many times has that been parodied and stuff, right? Yeah. But in this, she's so like innocent. Like her and Billy, they're just like these sort of suburban kids that seem so innocent compared to like the corrupt, rich New York people.
Like people are like knocking them down and they're like, oh, they're being so rude. Yeah. Well, again, we could go all day talking about Gremlins 2, but we've got to stop at some point.
We do.
Pete, thank you so much for coming and talking about Gremlins 2. You know what? If you ever watch that cartoon, we'll come and we'll do an episode on it. I'd totally talk about that cartoon.
Shit, yeah.
He could tell the people where they could hear more of your media criticism.
You know, Mike and I, we kind of share this bond where we sort of at this point have talked about Ghostbusters, Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, and it's been a real pleasure being on this channel talking about this stuff. I cover a lot of those things over on my YouTube channel slash podcast. It's called Comic Books Transformed, where a lot of the times these great franchises that we love, they have comics of them and they have like streaming shows, right? But of course, we cover like Marvel and DC things too, and Star Wars too. That's on Comic Books Transformed. And then besides that, I also have the LasserCast, where it's a horror show, and that could be a YouTube show or a podcast. You can check it out. Me and my friend Danny over there are always covering like new horror releases, classic horror releases, and even like horror shows.
Awesome. Recently, Peter lives in Texas and I live in New York. But we met when Peter lived in New York like years ago. But recently, you came up to New York, because you had a death in the family, and we all hung out, you, me, Danny, Brian, and we had we were like in person for the first time. It was so it's just a mo it's such a weird modern thing to be like, oh, we're actually physically in the same space, but we had to keep stopping to give our plugs.
Yeah, it was in an Applebee's, and I remember like I did like how I opened my shows. I came in, I was like, "What's up, Applebee's fans?" And it was just like real quiet and awkward afterwards.
Oh, that the we were there for like 7 hours.
And of course, we talked about like The Last Jedi, and we talked about what else did we?
Every nerdy thing. It was
Every
just
nerdy thing. Yeah, we
yeah, it
talked
was
about
like
Ghostbusters, right? And
yeah,
Gremlins
it all
probably
came
too.
up. It all came up.
Yeah. Yeah,
Pete,
man.
thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being on the first episode of 2024. We
Of
end the
course.
episode by saying
Go bye-bye.